Amen. God is so good all of the time. And He is so good to me, so good to us. He's been so good to our church. His church established in 1803. Thomas Jefferson was president at the time. A group of people got together and realized that the Lord was moving upon their hearts. And they wanted to worship the Lord Jesus Christ. And God moved. And God has kept His hand upon this church for over 220 years. And I'm grateful for God's faithfulness. I'm thankful today that God has preserved His church and continues to do it. And I pray that even after we're long gone, if the Lord tarries His coming, that there'll be a group of believers here that are Spirit-filled and love God and are seeking to preach the gospel. I tell you, it's interesting that the name of the church, the original name, was quite a bit longer than it is now. You say, what was it? It was the Baptist Church of Jesus Christ on Crooked Creek. Amen. It was the Baptist Church of Jesus Christ on Crooked Creek. So we've shortened it up a little bit, and we're just thankful again for how the Lord's working. And, you know, when I came here almost 10 years ago, a lot of it was due to the influences of my life. And as I mentioned, Brother Stevens, they encouraged me, discipled me. I was under wonderful preaching there at Northside. Preaching was emphasized, and I'm thankful it was. Prayer was emphasized. Soul winning was emphasized. It was just what I believe in my heart at the time, as a new believer, I was just in awe. I was like, this is New Testament Christianity. Now, a pastor could tell you, he was there over 20 years. There were problems in that church, just like in any church. There were struggles. But I'm telling you, what really makes up the core of a church is the majority have a heart for God and desire to praise Him and seek Him. So, Brother Stevens, I'm so thankful you and your bride could be here today. I want you to know I love you, dear brother. Thank you for the influence you've had on my life. And I trust that I continue to use that for God's glory. Amen. So you come and preach God's Word. Young people, you take notes. I've also given colored sheets out and a picture on the back. If you do a good job, I got a nice piece of candy for you at the end of service. And we'll make sure you get that. Amen. Thank you, Brother Stevens.
Thank you, my friend. God bless you.
Amen. I love you.
Thank you for inviting me here. I don't think we're going to travel much longer, but that's okay too. We've enjoyed our travels. We've been to many places because we did all those interims, 13 of them, and different places. And the one we went to in California, we were glad to get out of there, but that was years ago. Now, is there a clock here somewhere? Right here it is. My wife said, "Honey, I got your glasses." But she left them there. So you all look better because I can't see you. And it's good to be here. Where's Marilyn? Where is my wife? Over there? Good. Want to make sure she comes to church. Praise the Lord for her. We've been married we've been married 63 years. Yeah. I told her if she ever leaves me, I was going with her. I want you to, we're thinking about praise. So that's what I'm going to preach on this morning, praise. I want to tell you four things that praise will do. First of all, praise will conquer your foes. And I'm going to talk about that. Secondly, praise will change your feelings. How many have ever been down besides me? Praise will change your feelings. Praise, thirdly, will communicate your faith to others who hear your praise. And finally, praise will correct wrong fellowships. We're going to see that today. Father, do a work in my heart and their heart. Use me, I pray, and I'll thank you for what you're going to do. In our Savior, the Lord Jesus' name. Take your Bibles now and go to the book of 2 Chronicles. And go there, if you will, to the 20th chapter of 2 Chronicles. And I want you to notice something here as we look at praise, first of all, will conquer your foes. Now, if you look here, you'll find that Jehoshaphat is the leader of the country of Israel. Israel's divided. By the way, it was in the north and the south. And for your southerners, there was some good kings in the southern kingdom, but none in the northern kingdom. And I'm a Yankee myself. I was born up there, but you know, there just wasn't any good kings in the northern kingdom. And I come to there, I want you to notice three things about what happened here. Praise will conquer your foes. I want you to notice the problem he faced, the prayer he prayed, and the praise that he gave. Now notice the problem in verse 1. It came to pass after this also that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon, and with them besides the Ammonites, came against Jehoshaphat in battle. Now that was the problem. The problem was the kingdom was invaded. And now don't you jump down here. Go down to verse 3 and verse 4. Now verse 3 is a very key verse here. I want you to notice what he did here. Three things. Look at verse 3. Now I'd use a lot of alliteration in my preaching. That's because I'm illiterate. But look there in verse 3 and 4. Look at verse 3. And Jehoshaphat feared and set, underlying that word set himself, the second word to seek the Lord and proclaim fast throughout all Judah. And then go down to verse 5, and Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation. Now, notice after the problem, he's going to pray. But notice this, three things. He set his mind. Now, let me say, he set himself, he decided to make a decision. I'm not going to live a defeated life. You don't need to. If you're going to be defeated, that's your decision. You don't have to be defeated. You don't have to be that. Let me say this. People, a lot of times, I was talking to somebody not too long ago, and he said, well, under the circumstances. I said, well, what are you doing under there? You don't have to be under the circumstances of life. You don't need to be there. And I want you to notice, he made a decision not to be under the circumstances. He made a decision. Also, that word seek means to sought. He sought the Lord. He not only set his mind to make a decision, but he sought the Lord. I thought of what he did. Just drop down real quick to verse 6. I want you to notice verse 6, because in that verse we're going to notice some things there. Notice there, because we not only see the problem, but we notice his prayer. And Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord. So he sat, and then he sought. Now he stood there in the house, and he prayed and said, O Lord God. Oh. So we not only notice his problem here, but his prayer. Now there are... That prayer is so vital, because in that prayer, you see some things here. I want you to notice verse 6. And he said, O Lord God. And then he asked four questions. There are four questions in verse 6 and in verse 7. You notice these? Get those four questions there, if you will, please. He said there, are there not a God in heaven? You know, sometimes if you're under the circumstances and you're down, it's because you have failed to realize there's a God in heaven. Sometimes I have failed to realize there's a God in heaven when I go through my problems. There's a God in heaven. And that's the first thing he said. Not only did he said there's a God in heaven, but notice secondly, he said, are not thou over all the kings of the earth? Now, when he said, are not the God in heaven, that was his preeminence. There are many gods, right? There's only one true God. That's his preeminence. And then he said, are not thou the God in heaven? Then he said, he ruleth over all the kingdoms of the world. That's his providence. He ruleth over. Now, let me tell you today, folks, God is in charge. God is in charge. He's in charge of your life. He's in charge of everything in our life. And he's in charge of our country. I don't like all the things that are going on. Do you? But God's in charge. God's in allow for a verse, and it'll bring it to his glory. And then notice thirdly, He said, and in thy hand is there not power. So he deals there with the preeminence, and he deals there with the providence and the power. He said, is there, in the hand there is not power and might, so there is none able to understand thee. And then notice here he says, fourthly, art thou not our God? I like that. Verse 7, underline, art not thou our God? Listen, is he your God today? He wraps his arms around you and takes care of you in the midst of problems. He's our God. Yeah, listen, he's not just God, he's personally your God and my God. So in his prayer, he brings it. Now notice what else he does here. You know, when you see the problem, we know you see the prayer. Hallelujah, we see praise. You cannot go to prayer and not result in praise. And if you're not praising God, one of the problems is you're not going to prayer. And we notice here, look down at verse 12. I like this. You know, I hope you get close enough to the Lord where you can just talk to God and just give him your heart. Look at verse 12. O our God, wilt thou not judge thee? Them, for we have no might against this great company that cometh against us. Neither know we what to do. You ever been to your place in your life where you just didn't know what to do? He said, I know not what to do. Well, what to do when you don't know what to do? Two things, pray and praise. He didn't know what to do. He said, I just don't know what to do. I've been there. I remember many times. A few years back, I was thinking about it. I just kind of looked at him and said, Lord, it's your problem. I haven't the slightest idea what to do about it. You'll work it out. And he did, because I gave it to him. So we see here, notice the prayer. Now notice here, as you move down, he said, I don't know what to do. What to do when you don't know what to do? And then I look at verse 15. He said, hearken ye all Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and that king of Jehoshaphat, thus saith he, the Lord unto you, be not afraid or mislead by reason of this great multitude, for the battle was not yours, but the Lord. Hallelujah. That makes me Baptist-costical. Yes. I don't know how many problems you have, but it's not your problem, it's his problem. It's his problem. And they all belong to him, and I'm glad for it. And then we get into that thing of praise. So what does he do after he prays? He prays God. Praise is the product of prayer and a close walk with God. Now, let me tell you what, folks. More people are depressed during the holidays than any other time of the year. They really are. And you ever been depressed during the holiday? Before I got saved, there wasn't a holiday that we had that I wasn't totally depressed. My family just got drunk on Christmas time, and Easter, and Thanksgiving, all the days there. I don't do that anymore. Hallelujah! God is good. And if I go over there, and you notice verse 18. I see you don't have my glasses, honey. That's your fault. And Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and Judah and the inhabitants of all Jerusalem fell before the Lord, worshiping the God. And look at verse 19. And Levites and the children of the Kohathites and the children of the Korahites stood up what? To praise the Lord. Do you praising God today, no matter what's going on? I'm praising God today. I'm praising God that my wife left the classes at home and she wanted to leave for getting there. That servant is not. She didn't do that intentionally. All right. She said, honey, did you get your glasses? I said, no, honey, you got them. She said, I only got them out of your drawer. I put them on the table. And I wanted to say, honey, why wouldn't you just give them to me? How many know what I'm talking about? Yeah, all right. Notice the praise. Well, let me say two things about prayer. Look at verse 15. Again, look at verse 15. He said, hearken ye all Judah and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou king of Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord to you, be not afraid nor dismayed. You don't need to fear. You need to have faith that God's going to do something. And I want to tell you what. Praise will enable us to do what we do not know what to do. Will enable you to do what you don't know what to do. Not too long ago, I was saying to the Lord, Lord, I don't feel like praising you. Have you ever been there? He said, well, do it anyway. And I said, I don't want to. I remember one time years ago that happened to me. I might have told that story. Myra says I repeat a lot of things. But I was driving down the freeway, and we were going through a real problem there in California in our church. Everybody's going through a problem in California. That's because they don't move out of there. But anyway, and I was just so down. And the Holy Spirit began to speak to my heart. He said, just, Stephen, praise the Lord. I said, I don't feel like it. He said, well, do it anyway. So I did it. And all of a sudden, I got so excited. I said, oh, well, praise the Lord. If you just felt good. Yeah. And the more I praised God, I got so excited. I just took, now don't, you young people don't do this. I took my knees to drive the car and raised my hands. The guy next to the car next to me went. But that's the first time I've been normal for a while because I was praising God. I want you to get the truth of that. So it will enable us to do what we need to do. It also enable God to do what He needs to do. Amen. You know, sometimes I think we limit God. Really, because we don't praise Him. We don't give Him credit for all that He does. And I won't take time, but over there in Psalm 78, verse 41, He talks about that. We don't limit God. Don't limit God! But if we don't praise Him, we limit Him. So we find here, praise will conquer your problem. But look there, down there in verse 21 and 22. I want you to get that. And when he had consulted with the, now keep in mind, they're surrounded by the enemies. So what he does, he gets the choir together.
Amen.
He gets the choir together.
That's good.
And verse 21. Now, if the choir, matter of fact, I've not only been not asked to sing, I've been told don't sing in the choir. Because I just don't, you know, I just make a joyful noise. When I first met Marilyn, we were in a church, and I was so excited, I had just gotten saved. And I began to just praise the Lord aloud. And she said, what are you doing? I was so off key. But I was full of God in my heart. Look there in verse 21. And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord that should praise the beauty of holiness. And as they went out before the army and to praise the Lord, for his mercy endured forever. And when they began to sing and to praise the Lord, an ambushment against the children of Ammon. And boy, guess what happened? He put the sing, you know, now if you're going to fight a battle, first thing you do is get your army together, right? Your soldiers together. He didn't do that. He got his singers together.
Amen.
And he called God down from heaven to the singers. And I read this and verse 22, and they began to sing and to praise the Lord, an ambushment against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. And then I look at verse 22, those last few words, and everyone helped to destroy himself. The enemy destroyed himself. You know, praise will destroy the devil.
Yes.
It will just do that. It'll just, his power, he can't do anything. So first of all, praise will conquer your foes. The enemy was destroyed. I got three enemies out to get me. I got the flesh, I got the devil, and I got the world out to destroy me, out to destroy you. And so, you know, thank the Lord. It will not only conquer your foes, that enemy was destroyed, but secondly, praise will change your feelings. Praise will change it. Go to the book of Psalm chapter 42. Psalm 42, praise will not only conquer your foes, but it will change your feelings. Like I say, there are times in my life when I've gotten up and I said, Lord, I don't feel like praying. I don't feel like praising. Have you ever been there? Sure you have. You know what you do? You pray and you praise anyway. I've never prayed. I've never praised God that I didn't feel better. Because you see, when you come over to Psalm 42, he is talking about a man here who is in deep depression. And I'll tell you something. Depression is a terrible, terrible condition to be in. Look here in verse, look with me here in verses 1 through verse 3. As the hart panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say, where's your God? Where's God? Where's God? Where's God? See, he lost his fellowship. He lost his fellowship. He couldn't figure out where God was. I don't know how many times in my ministry, Pastor, that I've been through some problems where I said, Lord, I feel like giving up. I never take Monday off, by the way, in my ministry, preacher. You know why? Because most people resign on Monday. I wait to Tuesday, but that time I'm got things squared around. I spent enough time with God. Praise the Lord for that. But he lost his friendship with God. He lost his fellowship with God. He said, where's God? Where's God? He not only lost his fellowship, but he lost his focus. Look at verse 4 to 6. When I remember these things, now I want you to get this. I poured out my soul in me, for I had gone with a multitude. I went with him. I'm going to put it, he went to church. You realize there are a lot of people sitting in church today who will walk out of the church the same way they walked in, not praising God. That's what happened to this writer here. Look at verse 4. When I remember these things, I poured out my soul where I had gone with a multitude. I went into the house of praise, and I put on the front. But it wasn't from my heart. But I read the rest of it. How do I know in verse 4 that he really, when he said with the voice of joy and praise, with the multitude, how do I know it wasn't real? Look at verse 5. He says, why art thou cast down on my soul? That doesn't sound like a guy that was joyful, praising the Lord to me. I don't know about you. It's a terrible thing when we walk out of church the same way we went in. But whoever the writer was here, he walked out of church the same way he walked in. And my prayer today is that God will do something in our hearts to make us leave this building today, yes, praising God. Yes, that's real thanksgiving. Amen. That's real thanksgiving. So he not only lost his friends' fellowship and lost his focus, but he learned to praise his way back to God. He just decided here. And you'll find three times, look there, in verse 4, you'll find the word praise in verse 4, you'll find the word praise in verse 5, and you will find the word praise here in verse 11. Just to praise God one time isn't sufficient. If you're down, if depression even be, how many are familiar with Charles Spurgeon? Great man of God, wasn't he? He fought depression. He says Satan has got a hold of my life. You know how he did, got out of that? He praised his way back into fellowship with God. I don't know how many times I've said, Lord, I don't feel like praying. I don't feel like praising. But those two things are the only way to get back to fellowship with God. And I hope that you'll learn to praise your way back into fellowship with God. So, first of all, I want you to notice that praise will conquer your foes. Secondly, praise will change your feelings. By the end of this chapter, he is praising God. He's just all excited about God. Then thirdly, praise will communicate your faith to others. Turn with me now to the New Testament and go to the book of Acts. Go to the 16th chapter of the book of Acts. What a great chapter. I want to begin at verse 25 because Paul's in prison. How many of you ever been in prison besides John Stevens? You all been in prison. Now, sir, I wasn't referring to literal prison. I was referring to being captivated by depression and being down and being discouraged. I've been there. And I want you to notice something when I come to verse 20. Now, Paul, where's Paul? Look at verse 24 of chapter 16. We have who, having received such a charge, thrust him into the inner prison and made his feet fast in stocks. Now, Paul had, you know what his stocks and bond portfolio was? His feet were in stocks. He was in bound in prison. But I want you to get verse 25 on down, because I want you to notice four things that praise will do with you, Paul. He prays will witness the presence of God. There are times in my life I've not only had to not only praise my way, but others who observe it said, boy, I remember years ago I was working my way through college in a store in California called Orbach's. And it was run by a Jewish firm. By the way, you pray for Jewish people? Pray for the Jewish people. You want your life to be prosperous? Pray for the Jewish people. They're God's chosen people. They were owned by Jewish people. And one of the, I guess called bigwigs in the Orbach Corporation, took a liking to me. I was just a little guy in the corporation. I was working my way through college. And he said to me one day, he said, John, you're different. You got a smile on your face a lot. I said, well, God put that there. And I gave him the witness on how that God could put that, because he was miserable. And he would have Marilyn and I take him to the store and buy food for himself and for us. I don't know if he, I just can point him the way. Only God knows if he really got saved. But let me say to you, and so we see here, and when Paul and Silas prayed, and what? Sang praises unto God. And the prisoners heard them. You could be in captivity today with being depressed, being down, or you know someone that is. Praise will solve all that problem. Praise and prayer together. He prayed and he praised God. Notice in verse 24. At midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praise unto God. And the what? The prisoners what? Heard them. Praise will witness the presence of God. These prisoners heard him praying and praising God. I want you to know that those prisoners did. And if you're here today, you may be in prison too, of depression, being down. Now, you're going to have a praise service. Now, that's Christmas, but you do more than a praise service. It needs to be something you do daily in your life, that others may see that. So it will not only witness the presence of God, it'll work a miracle. I've won more people to Jesus Christ by first what they saw than what I said. Because people are like the people from Missouri, the Show Me State. If you're really a Christian, I want to know if it's real or not. We need to be like that. And look there, if you will, please, in verse 26. And suddenly there was a great earthquake. That's a miracle. How many of you have ever been in an earthquake? You go to California, you just do them regularly. Of course, they got a governor who's causing an earthquake all the time there. But anyway, suddenly it was a great earthquake. And so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately the doors were open and everyone's bands was loose. What a miracle. I mean, they were all bound in prison, and what happened? God performed a miracle. I'm going to tell you this. God wants to do an earthquake in my life and your life when we get depressed. He wants to shake us up. He wants to open the doors and let us out of the prison of our depression and of our circumstances. God doesn't want us in those things. He wants us to put a smile on our face. Yeah. So you know, a lot of Christians look like they've been baptized in lemon juice. Thank you for smiling. Not necessarily, but look like you've been baptized in lemon juice. You need to put a smile on your face and let God know that you're okay. So communicated his faith. People saw that the very presence of God was there. And there was a miracle. He also not only witnessed the presence of God and a miracle, a work of miracle, but it also woke up the sleeping. They were sleeping. Look here, if you will, please. Look at verse 27. And the keeper of the prison awakened out of his sleep. You know, anyone who doesn't know Jesus Christ is spiritually asleep. He's not awake. But the Word of God can awaken him up. And a witness can wake him up if it's a real witness for God. I have found that most people are looking for someone that's real. As a Christian, to put a smile on your face and witness here, it will wake the sleeping to their spiritual condition. And finally, it will win the lost. It will not only witness the presence of God, not only work a miracle, wake up the sleeping, but I want you to notice verse 30. And at midnight, and he brought them out. This is the keeper of the prison, and said, "Sir, what? What must I do to be saved?" Now, you know what? Paul's preaching, Paul's singing, their praising woke him up. And now he says, "I got to have what they have." I want to ask you a question. Are people looking at your life and my life saying, "I want what he has. I want what she has. I want that. I got to have that." Because I see a difference in their life. In their life. I believe, as this brother pastor, I remember those years when you were in our church, were great times. Now, and he said a lot of flowery things about me. Remind me of the lady whose husband had died, and he was in the casket in the front of the church. And the preacher was saying so many good things about him that she turned to her son and said, "Will you go up there and take a look, make sure that's your dad in that casket?" Some of the things you said, I don't know if are really real or not, but I thank you anyway. It will win the lost. So prayer. Praise will not only conquer your foes, as Jehoshaphat saw the enemy turn on itself. It will not only change your feelings, but thirdly, it will communicate your faith. A faith that's got life to it. A faith that shows forth what it is. And then finally, faith. Praise will correct divisions. Turn with me to one final thought here in the New Testament. Go with the book of Philippians. I love Philippians. You know, there's nothing wrong about the church of Philippians that I can find. It was a great church. Great church. But I want you to notice there, as I go to the fourth chapter, there was a problem among the membership. I want you to notice there in verse 1 and 2, "Therefore, my brother, dearly beloved, and long for, my joy and crown, so stand fast, Lord, my dearly beloved. I beseech Euodias and Syntyche that they be of the same mind." And Lord, what was wrong? There was a division there. Fourth chapter. There was a problem there. There was a problem among the people. I have found when those 23 churches or 13 churches that I helped, there were problems among the fellowship. I remember one church up in Michigan. They had a family there. I won't mention their name, but a lot of them didn't get along. I mean, the personal family, and I could tell it was a problem for the church. It was a problem. You could tell that the Spirit of God was grieved. And I would go around to those church members. I'd say, "Hey, how you doing? Praise the Lord." Some of them looked at me like, again, they were baptized in lemon juice. They wouldn't speak to each other. Don't you dare be that way. Don't you dare. Because it will put something on this church here, a curse. It will put a cloud over the church. Praise God. I've got certain people that I just have hurt me and hurt you. So how do you handle it? I just praise the Lord for them. I just praise the Lord for it because God put him in my life for a purpose. I needed those people. And I didn't always like them. I remember one fellow said, I want you to know I love you. I just don't like you. How many have ever been there? The things he did. But I want you to know something. The problem among the people there. And he will say some other things, but notice verse 4. Because I want you to notice, not only we see the problem, but the power of praise. Rejoice, what? How often? Always. And again, I say, rejoice. He didn't say it just once. He said it twice. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Even for the ones that God brings into your life that you don't particularly like. And I have prayed that God would give me a feeling to liking people, but I do love them. And I want them to know I love them.
Yes.
And I don't know. I hope there are no divisions here in this church. There's no people get along, love the Lord, love each other. That's a blessing that would be. Amen?
Amen.
But if there's someone in the fellowship you're having problems with, you praise God for them because God brought them here, put them in your life, and wants to use them in your life. Amen?
Amen?
If you don't believe that, stand up. I want to know who the ones that don't believe that. The power of praise. And as he goes down in this text, I draw your attention here. So there was a problem among the people. They just didn't get along. You know somebody right now you don't get along. Praise the Lord for them and give them a hug. Give them a hug. Let them know you love them. Because praise will change the relationship, the fellowship between you and that person. But I want to finish up here as I go down here. And I want you to notice verse 6. There's three things. So, I want you to notice something. There's a problem when you get up here in verses 1, 2, and 3. Then in 4, he says, rejoice in the Lord. When you start rejoicing, things change. How many of you besides me have ever worried? Raise your hand. The rest of you have lied. You haven't. You've worried. He's going to make three statements here. In verse 6, I want you to get. He said, be careful for nothing. In other words, worry about nothing. Praise will remove worry. But in everything, give thanks in thanks by prayer. In everything by prayer and supplication, let your request. In other words, pray about it. And he says, giving thanks to God. I get this. Praise will tell you to worry about nothing. It will tell you to pray about everything. It will tell you to be thankful for all things. And today, if you cannot say within your heart, I do worry about so many things. Worry is a sin. Worry is a sin. Worry about nothing, pray about everything, and be thankful for all things. But only a person who has a heart of praise. And you can't praise if there is relationship problems in your life. So I'd say as I close here today, think with me again. Praise will conquer your foes. Your enemies. The enemy is not sitting in the pew next to you. It's your flesh. The biggest enemy I have lives within me. And Satan uses him. That's my second. In the world, praise will conquer your foes. It'll change your feelings. I've never gone to praise or prayer that didn't feel better when I got through. Now, I don't want you to concentrate much on feelings. Most of us do. Be careful with your feelings. Now, man is made up of three parts. You know that, don't you? Anybody here can tell me what the three parts are of man? What is it? Say it again, I didn't hear it. Pray for your pastor. He got it wrong. It is not body, soul, and spirit. 1 Thessalonians 5:23 says what? Spirit, soul, and body. The spirit. Well, I enjoyed that, preacher. That was fun. See, the prayer, your spirit is the part of the unit that communicates with God. God with you. That's got to be at the top. That's your place. That's your place, folks. And my place, where faith resides. And then your soul, that's your feelings. Your spirit is your place of faith. Your soul is your place of feelings. Get out of listening to the soul and start concentrating on the Holy Spirit as He works with your spirit. And thank the Lord. And the third part is your physical. That's the part I see. That's the part you see. Some of you don't look so good anymore. And I look worse. You know why? Because this body is deteriorating. And I don't put my major on this body, but I want to put my major on the Spirit. My major on that, the thoughts of the Spirit of God have ruled me. So today, not only praise will conquer your foes, change your feelings, it will communicate your faith. And finally, it will correct wrong fellowship among the believers. Let's bow our heads. Let's stand with our heads bowed.